want to thank God for giving this opportunity to stand in front of our congregation. Not like before, today I'm much nervous. Usually I used to look at Jimsy, and I know she's praying here and she's not there. So I'm a bit nervous. Anyway, praying for veterans. I think they're in Yellowstone or somewhere there. I've seen several pictures in the Facebook. In the midst of the problem, their capability of taking photos and smiling at us, that's interesting. Praise God for them. And may God give more strength and courage to handle the situation. Definitely, our prayers are required. And another issue that we are currently praying and we're thinking about is that three-year-old child missing in Dallas. This morning onwards, the public is questioning the church there. There was a lot of messages are coming in Twitter asking why the elder is supporting that family. The elder is, some of us know him, Josh Cherian, Emmy Cherian's son, asking why the church is supporting him. That type of questions are start coming up. It is sad, we do not know what happened. There may be a foul play, it looks like, we do not know. Let's keep them in our prayers. Yeah, let's open the session with a word of prayer. Father God, we are submitting ourselves once again. Lord, help us to understand your word and help us to apply that one in our life. Lord, when we are studying the word of God, let the Holy Spirit guide each of us. Lord, we pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we are thinking about the Indian history, India declared martial law or emergency 3 times in our recent years. The last one was in 1975 and its span was 21 months. That was the time that I graduated from the 10th grade to 11th grade. In India those days, 11th grade as well as the 12th grade was in college, or I had to go to university. And I joined a university for further studies. I was politically active. I felt very annoyed about the emergency. They have taken out the freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of gathering, everything they have taken out. So I joined a political party to oppose the government. That time I thought I will be able to change the world, I will be able to change the system. I am required in that system. I was not saved. So I joined that movement against the government martial law. Did some of dangerous thing those days. I don't want to say. My boys will tomorrow will ask me, you did that, why I cannot? I don't want to say. Anyway, eventually government lifted the martial law, emergency law, and re-established the democracy. But during this period of the political movement, it changes my way of thinking. I was attracted toward the socialistic movement. Or the socialistic ideology. In 1983, I met a preacher in a public meeting. He visited India along with his wife, and he was introduced in that meeting as Nikolai Blodescu. And we know him as Richard Fulbright. He explained what he suffered and how he suffered, and the depth of the suffered in the socialist government programs. I was moved about his testimony. When he was in Romania, as a Jew, he was suffered from Germans. Nazi woman. And they killed millions of people that time. Hundreds of them. His family members were being tortured and killed. But he was a Christian. He started loving him, loving them. Eventually, the Romania, with the help of Russia, replaced or evicted the Germans from that area. Germans were running for their life. They knocked on his door and he opened the doors and allowed them to stay with him. He saved several of them and had helped them to cross the border. This verse. And then when the Russians came into the power, Russian government installed or instated their own church, a government-sponsored Christian church, plus a government Christ, according to their social thinking. They said the Christ and the communism is same, and so we need to worship in such a way. They installed a Christ of their own way. And Wumran, he said, God will judge us not according to how much we endured, but how much we could love. You know, this person who made that statement was going through imprisonment of around 33 years of imprisonment. But he was, $10,000 was paid and he was ransomed from that jail. He hasn't completed 33 years and he was here in America after a long period of time. Anyway, when he was in Romania, a parliament was in session and they called Richard Wurmbrand to attend that meeting. And when he was in meeting, they asked him, they were preaching about Lord Jesus Christ in a different color, different way. And his wife, Sabina Wurmbrand, was with him in that meeting. And they were painting the Christ in a different view. Then Sabina Wurmbrand said, Richard, stand up and wash away the shame from the face of Christ. They are spitting in his face. Then Wurmbrand said, if I do so, you lose your husband. She replied, I don't wish to have a coward as a husband. This is real. I have met both of them. I have seen them. So, what I am trying to say, when they were ruled by Germans, they suffered for Christ. When they were ruled by their own country people, or Romanians and Russians, and again they suffered. You know what was the only thing which was common in them? Their faith. Richard and Sabina paid a heavy price. Very heavy price. I believe he was awarded 33 years. Yes, it was 33 years of jail sentence. They lived separately. Both of them agreed that they will be praying together at the same time and they will be thinking for the Christ all the time. It was interesting, if you listen or read their biography, autobiography, it's interesting. They both of them agreed that if one dies ahead of other, he or she will wait near the seventh gate in the heaven, that is the gate of Benjamin. I encourage you to look into this two autobiographies. The Pastor's Wife, that is available in audio in our Columbus Library, Metropolitan Library, you can listen to that. And the other one, I haven't seen that yet. I read that in a book form. Need to read, especially The Pastor's Wife, you need to read. There's no doubt in it. That will give you an idea what they paid And then after reading that book, after hearing to that book, you will feel shame to call yourself as a Christian. Because you are not doing anything if that is a standard. So, these two individuals, they are real. And they are coming from our recent history. They were constantly, they were looking at Lord and they were not changing at all. All the time they were looking at Lord only. Lot of things may have changed in between. Situations change. But they never ever changed their faith. This morning, I'd like to ask the question to each of us and along with me too. Am I stable in my faith, irrespective of the circumstances? One of the interesting books when we are studying from the Old Testament, we can study the book of the history about King Jehoshaphat. It is an interesting story. If you analyze his life, what we are seeing out of his life is a reflection of our life sometimes. You know, today we have Dominic along with us, and to me, there are some commonality between both of us. We both left our ancestral church situation. It is little bit difficult to stand separate from the crowd. And when we study about King Jehoshaphat, you can see that when he was changed himself away from his father's ideology or the way of life. If somebody can read 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11, 12 and 13, please. Yeah, the king, or the father of King Jehoshaphat, when he was sick, he was looking for the specialist and he was not asking for the God's favor, God's guidance. He's coming from such type of family. But when we are studying about King Jehoshaphat, the verse which is here is, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the earlier ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baal, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandment, and not according to the practices of Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 3. A separation from his father's way of life. And he looked into a model. In his life, David. This morning, I'm asking our younger children, what's your model? And to the parents, are you a model for your next generation? He followed the path of David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments, and not according to the practice of Israel. What is the practice of Israel? The northern kingdom. They were far away from God. They were going after Baal. And here, a God-chosen guy, King Jehoshaphat, he decided to follow the Lord. And when you're studying further, we can see that 2 Chronicles chapter 17 verse 2 and 3. He placed forces in all fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim that Asa his father had captured. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the earlier ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals. He was living above the northern kingdom of Israel. Why? We are told that he didn't seek Baalism. It is not suggested that either Asa or David followed after Baal. But if you look and study about the northern kingdom, we know that they were worshipping Baal. Or the Ahab was looking after Baal and Baal's worship methods. Jehoshaphat was rising above Israel. Let's take a moment. How is our life? Are we growing? Are we living above our surroundings in our faith? Are we living above the way that the world is expecting us? Is our faith is solid? And in verse 6 it says, his heart was courageous in the way of the Lord, and furthermore, he took the high places and Ashrim out of Judah. 2 Chronicles chapter 17 verse 6. The word courageous says that he was capable of doing things which was not normal at that time. In the first phase of King Jehoshaphat, why I am saying first phase? As a human, he had several phases in his life, or a several type of behavior in his life. When we are studying this chapter 17 and 18, we will see the 17th chapter, we are seeing how he was close to God, how he was going along with God. And when we are turning into chapter 18, we are seeing his departure from God or God's plan. So the first phase of King Jehoshaphat is giving us very interesting pictures. One, he was following the Lord all the time. The second was he was always trying to stick up with the David's plan. And on third, he sent out teachers all over Judah to instruct the people in the law. People in the law. You know, without knowing, without understanding the law, without understanding the God's instruction, you won't be able to be successful. The verse 7 says, in the third year of his reign, he sent his officials, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathanael, and Micah, I don't know if I'm pronouncing correctly or not, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them, the Levites, Shemiah, Nathaniah, Sabadiah, Asher, Shemiroth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobij, and several names are given there, I don't want to try that. On verse 9 it says, and they taught in Judah, having the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went about through all the cities of Judah and taught among the people. You need to get educated. You need to know the law of God. See, this is a very interesting point. When I was listening to the biography of George Bush, and he one of his main agenda when he was the president was no child left behind. No child left behind. So his intent that time to make sure that the American children, need to know the mathematics, need to know the science to the maximum level like other expatriate. When you listen to his biography, you can listen to that. I'm pretty sure that he must be getting the idea from here. He wants them to know the law. He wants them to know the math. He wants them to know the science. He implemented that in this country. I'm not talking about a political system or political party right now. When a ruler is trying to teach the citizen the law and educating them, there will be a big change. Here, instead of enforcing the law, he sent the princes around the country and asked the princes to teach the law to the people. His power he used to educate the people. We are talking about the King Jehoshaphat. It is in old time. The God gave him the wisdom to know how to rule, how to reach out to the people. And he did that. And he was sending his people or the princes around to teach. You know, the result of this teaching was very interesting. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdom of the land that were around Judah. And they made no war against Jehoshaphat. When you are trusting on your Lord, when you are trusting God completely, and when you are seeking His ways, He is in charge. You may be going through a difficult time. You must be going through a very tough time in your life. But you know, once you submit your ways according to the Word of God and study the Word of God, then God will give you the wisdom to manage yourself through the trouble. You know that joy that God gives us in our heart? That won't go. The situation changes our happiness. All of us know that I was going through a difficult time. But my trust on my God helping me to go through all these problems. And when I'm seeing the life of King Jehoshaphat, I'm seeing a practical implementation of this rule or this law. And now, he did a great work. This is very, very interesting. He created a military. He created a military to support him. If you want to add all those numbers, it will come around 1,160,000. Under his control. So, based on chapter 17, what we are seeing is this. He followed the Lord, removed the heathen worship, he taught the law around, and he started enjoying the peace, and to sustain the peace, he made a village. That was the phase one of his life. Let's compare this to our life. Are we following the Lord with our full heart? Are we following? A complete, sincere submission to His will, irrespective of what is happening around. Each day, the newspaper or the television is giving you only the bad news, isn't it? We are hearing about shooting in one place or killing in other places. That's what's happening. In the midst of that, are we able to follow the law? What is the standard of our life? Are we living above the expectation of this world? Have we changed out all the bad things from our life? And do you have any idols in your heart which may replace God? Maybe your family, maybe your stock, maybe your job, Is there anything which got a higher priority than the thought? What is your priority? Remove the heathen idols, heathen worship. 3. Are you in the law? Are you studying the word of God with a sincere heart? Are we listening to the word of God? Are we able to get some time to read the word of God? When I accepted the Lord as my Savior, I carved out some time in my life called a quiet time. Quiet time with Lord. Quiet time to talk to Him. Quiet time to read from Him. I cannot say the 100% that I am doing right now. As I said, I am looking, I am trying to find out the fault in me. What about your life? Are we able to carve out some time and to talk to Him? Are you enjoying that peace? Are you able to enjoy the peace? By having a military, you can build a great defensive mechanism to avoid the external threat. What about your internal threat? You can put a lot of things around you and say that nobody can touch me. What about your heart? How much you are taking care about your heart? The thought that which never supposed to come in. How to make that? How to make sure that it is not getting and it is not making a nest in your heart? I mentioned this one earlier. Let me tell that one more time. When I went for my father's studies away from my home, my mom gave one advice. She said, maybe a lot of birds are flying above your head, but don't allow any of them to have a nest on your head. I don't know what she meant that time. Now I know. Make sure you won't allow any birds to put a nest on your head. It may fly around. That's the world you are living in. But don't allow them to have a nest on your head. So you can have a defensive mechanism around you to avoid the threat from the external forces. You know, when you are doing an internal auditing of any company, one of the major principles that we used to apply is 75%, I am saying correctly, 75% of the threat of an IT infrastructure is coming from internal employees compromising the secrets of the company, compromising the security system of the company. 75% the cause of the issues are internal. Is that true in our life too? When you are missing our defensive system, when you are failing our own internal defensive system, we are failing. That's exactly what happened for King Jehoshaphat. Do you have a system to manage the threat from inside? You may be going in a straight path, you may be driving in a correct path. Now, you may be changing around because your internal threat. You don't have the capacity to control yourself. Or you don't have the capability to stick on with the God's plan. Your direction may change. This is called the second phase of King Jehoshaphat. He lost his direction. That is from chapter 18 of 2 Chronicles.
After some years, he went down to Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed an abundance of sheep and oxen for him and for the people who were with him, and induced him to go up against Ramoth Gilead. Who is Ahab? You will see him, the worst king, isn't it? Why he made an affinity, Jehoshaphat, who followed the path of David, start following Ahab? He got every riches, everything. Jehoshaphat got everything. Now he changes direction. When you study 1 Kings chapter 21, this is a resume of Ahab. There was none who sold himself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord, like Ahab, whom Jezebel, his wife, incited. That is Ahab. We heard about Jehoshaphat in chapter 17, who followed the path of God or the life of David. Now his direction is changed. He's going in the opposite direction. How sad. Who sent his own prince around the world, around his kingdom, to teach the law to the people. Now he lost the direction. He's with a person which is not compatible for his way of life. Let me ask that question to ourselves. Examine our life. Check out how we are making treaties, how we are connected to the people. Are we going in a wrong company? I don't want to say that one, we should stay away from this world, because that was not what Lord Jesus Christ prayed. He wants us to be there, but he doesn't want us to be mixed with the way of life. By looking at you, is it possible for another person to say, this person is a Christian? There is some difference in his way of life. Do you have that separate identity in this world? Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he made a marriage alliance with Ahab. How sad. After some years, he went down to Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed an abundance of sheep and oxen for him and for the people who were with him, and induced him to go up against Ramoth Gilead. We know the story. Alliance against God's plan. You know, when we are studying Jehoshaphat, we know Jehoshaphat bring his kingdom to the verge of collapse by having that alliance. The verge of destruction. Ahab asked the prophets to give the prophecy about the new war that he was planning for. And they gave a direction, say, go and kill, go, you will be successful. But you know, those prophets was not the prophets of Lord. King Jehoshaphat asked again, can you go ahead and get, I'm not going to the details right now because of the time. Can you get somebody from some prophet of belongs to Jehovah? Yeah. He said, there is one guy, but he is always turning against me. You know the story, I'm not going there anymore. Verge of destruction. Then what's happened after that? He was escaped from that war. And then he reached out to God and cried. And he returned to safety and reinstated and realigned the life with God. That is the story of Jehoshaphat. You know what? I want to talk about a lot of things. But like Robert Frost said, woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have a promise to keep. I need to stop. I'm not continuing on that story. It's interesting to listen to the stories, right? But at the same time, see the core of the issue. Jehoshaphat was a capable king. He started very great. And he got a wrong alliance. On chapter 18, what we are seeing, the second phase of that king. He failed. The interesting fact is, in the midst of his failure, that's the most important thing I want to say. In the midst of that failure, when he was in the war, when the enemies were approaching near to him to kill him, he cried out and God gave him safety. He returned back and realigned himself. That is our God. You may be messed up in some places. You're not gone forever. You're not. You may be in the middle of enemies trying to escape from the problems. Do you know what? Cry out. Cry out. He will listen to you and take you back to the safety. Only thing what you need to do is to realign yourself to God. To the younger generation, this is what I want to say. He is faith. To the elder generation, I am saying, to my generation, show our life as a model for our children. We are living in a world, the people are measuring you. You need to be a yardstick. May God help us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to worship you. Lord, help us to examine our life. Help us to see that your direction in our life, Lord. Help us to follow you in a perfect manner. We are submitting ourselves once again. Lord, guide us and help us. Lord, help us to cry out in the midst of confusion. Lord, you are merciful. We thank you. We pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.